As an aside, I received a couple of documents from Reverend Worrell this last week that are the foundation of his doctoral work. And as we might expect from our old friend, it is very, very good work, very impressive. So we're looking forward to his defense. Please turn with me for our afternoon second reading in the Old Testament now to Genesis chapter 28. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalat, and the daughter, which he had Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went toward Haran. And he lighted on a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so here in chapter 28, we have a continuation of what we had in the former chapter concerning Jacob and Esau, and Jacob himself receiving the blessing and not Esau. In verses 1 through 5, we see now that Isaac is completely resolved in his mind that Jacob is indeed that covenant heir. And so he tells him that he is not to take a wife of unbelievers. Well, we have this principle that is played out over and again in Scripture. Beloved, children especially, who will grow up and hope to find a mate, find a godly one, right? Find a godly one. And parents, help your children find a godly one. Don't let them do what the godly race did as they became ungodly in Genesis chapter 6 and chose the daughters of men because they were fair, because they were pretty. Don't let that be the criteria. The criteria is whether or not they are godly, whether or not they are believing. Remember what Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that the wife who is loosed from her husband as he has died, that she is free to remarry only in the Lord. Right? Only in the Lord. So very important stuff there. And that's what we see in verses 1 through 5. And yet we also see that Isaac reiterates the Abrahamic blessing upon the head of Jacob as he sends him away to Padan Aram to find a wife that is a believer in the true God. Remember who that family was. Those were the remnants of the family that came out of Ur of the Chaldees with Abram and Terah. Okay, and they were believers in the one true God. Although they were not of the covenant line, they were believers in the one true God. Now we find that even in that household, there was obviously swindling and thievery going on. Certainly that's true. But they were believers in the one true God. We remember just a little bit ago, right, when they're sending away Rebekah, that they send her away with that covenant blessing. You're going to be the wife of Isaac, who's the wife of Abraham. Abraham's the heir of the covenant. And so be thou the mother of millions, right? Well, that's a believing statement. That's something that we need to remember about that family. It's interesting, right? Because we've seen such a confusion in chapter 27. We see what appears to be the godly people doing ungodly things, right? And our hearts are drawn toward the ungodly Esau, right? On the surface of it. But like we did last hour, if we scratch it a little bit deeper, we find that greater meaning. Okay, so now we have in verses 6 through 9, Esau's impossibility of doing good. The impossibility of Esau to doing good. And Esau is simply a picture of all the haters of God. Let's take him a little bit symbolically here. He notes that Isaac has sent Jacob away to Padan Aram to find a wife. And he knows also that his current wives are a grief of mind to his parents. And so he says, I know what good I'll do. I know. I'll just go take a wife of the seed of Ishmael. Certainly that'll please my parents. Right? This is what men's works look like. Fraught with all sorts of outward pomp and superstition, and inwardly full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Right? So Esau, it is simply impossible for him. As much as he's trying to curry his parents' favor, still has these false hopes that he might become the favored child once again. It's not to be, beloved. His highest good at this point would be to associate himself to his brother Jacob and become associate to the covenant in that, but he cannot, because truly he is a hater of God and his covenant. All right, so now in verse 10 through the rest of the chapter, we have the dream of Jacob. Now, what's Jacob doing here? Well, he's been sent away from his family house. First time he's been out from them. Here he is, and he has no one with him. He's by himself. I don't know if any of you have ever been out in the wilderness alone. It's an interesting feeling. It is. It's It's very interesting. And so here he is out in the wilderness alone, and he thinks he's alone. And so he lays down his head on a stone for a pillow. That's all he's got. He's got a little sack with some bare provision, a little bit of oil, and he lays his head down on a stone for a pillow to sleep that night. And the Lord sends him a magnificent dream. And what is the magnificent dream? Jacob, you thought you were all alone. You're not. You have the blessing of Abraham upon you. I am with you, even in this place. And so in this dream, Jacob sees a ladder, maybe a stairway, a concourse between heaven and earth, and the angels of God ascending and descending, as if to take up the needs of the people of God, to get them filled and to come back down with the goods, and to ascend and descend. And this concourse toward heaven is busy with angels ascending and descending. And Jacob awakes out of his dream and he says, surely God is in this place and I knew it not. In times of the patriarchs' lives, we do see this crisis or struggle of faith. Jacob thought he was alone. Abraham thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. Isaac thought the same thing, right? But at every point, the Lord meets them in his faithfulness. And so Jacob sees this vision, this dream, and he wakes up in the morning and he takes those stones that he had for his pillow and he makes a pillar out of them. He stacks them up into a pillar. And then he pours that oil. What did he have to give the Lord at that time? What did he have? Did he have an animal to sacrifice? No. No, he had a little cruse of oil. And so that's what he gave the Lord. He poured that oil on top of that rock. And then he vowed a vow. And the vow ought to be read not as an if then, but since then. Right? It's a third class conditional, not a first. And so, since the Lord has brought me safely from my father's house, and since he will bring me back to my father's house in safety, then God will be my God, and this place will be called the house of God, and I will give him a tenth of all that I have. Well, he didn't have much. To give a tenth in that kind of poverty is interesting, isn't it? Well, we teach tithing as a New Testament ordinance, but there are folks that say it's not that way. It's an Old Testament ordinance only. It's Mosaic. Well, it's not Mosaic. We can say that for sure, in that both Jacob offered tithes. Abraham and Jacob both offered tithes. Now, if we turn to John chapter 1, verse 51, we won't take the time to turn there. But if you do turn there and study this later, you will find, if you have a Bible with cross references in it, that this passage, chapter 28, Genesis 28, verse 22, will be referenced. Okay? Or maybe Genesis 28, verse 12. And why will it be referenced? Because Jesus is having a conversation with Nathanael. And he will say to Nathanael, behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. And Nathanael will say, how do you know me? And he will say, well, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And Nathanael will return to him, you saw me when I was under the fig tree? Thou art the master of Israel. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Messiah. And Jesus says to him, because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree, you recognize who I am? What and if you see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? What's the ladder? What's the stairway? What's the only concourse between heaven and earth? Nothing else than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jacob sees a Christological, a mediatorial vision of Christ and his mediation at that point. And where Christ is present in his mediatorial glory, there, that is where the church is. And so, what does Jacob do? He offers a tenth. And who is that offered to? It's offered to Christ. Who did Abraham offer his tenth to? Melchizedek, who is a type of Christ. And so in these two instances of pre-Mosaic tithing, both of them being Christological, we infer from that that we're supposed to continue the tithe in the New Testament. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 28. Let's stand.